The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, author and speaker Sheila Walsh shares viewer feedback to the question, what do you find challenging about prayer?
But this one thing showed up over and over. I can't stay focused. My mind wanders. Well, I totally get that. And I think most of us, if we're honest, understand that. But here is what I've discovered. You and I have the greatest prayer book ever offered to anyone. Welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh, and I'm so glad that you joined us. I've been thinking a lot over the last probably 2 years about prayer. God has really been placing it on my heart that somehow it's almost like this unused weapon in the church, that we've been given this incredible ability to join our hearts and our minds and our spirits and our souls with heaven and pray and intercede and make a difference in our own hearts, in our families, in our homes, across the nation. But somehow we tend to kind of leave it almost like as a last resort. We'll try and fix things ourselves if something's not going well. And then we'll think, well, if that doesn't work, then we'll pray. Well, I want you to know, God is on the move. Something is happening. I feel it in my spirit. How long have we talked about longing for revival, wanting to see God move in this nation? But I feel as if we're on the edge of something, but it's going to begin when we take God's word seriously and begin to pray. Let me tell you how it started for me, like kind of about a couple of years ago. I woke up one morning and my husband Barry and I, we've been married for 25 years this year. And that means I get something silver, doesn't it? Oh, I need to start thinking about it. But he said to me, God woke me up in the middle of the night and told me that we should get the website Praying Women. And I was like, oh, okay. So we kind of looked to see if that was available, and it was. But it was a little bit of money. We had to pay for it. So I said, let's really pray and ask God, because I don't want to put something, you know, invest in something that's maybe not right. So we both prayed about it and had this huge, you know, internal witness from the Spirit. No, you have to do this. So we got the website, and then it was like kind of like, okay, Lord, now what? Nothing. So maybe about 4 months after that, I got an invitation from a friend of mine. Her name is Diane Strack. And she said, I've been invited to bring 20 evangelical female leaders for a meeting at the White House. Are you available? And I said, honestly, I don't really know. I said, let me check my schedule and I'll get back to you. Well, by the time she got back to me, she said, actually, it's all changed. I can only bring four, but I really feel as if you're meant to be one of the four. So I asked the Lord, is this something that you want me to do? And I felt, yes. So we decided that because I didn't know the other women, that we would meet for brunch before we went over for this other meeting. And so when I went in, they were all already there and they were all talking and, you know, they seemed to be concerned about something or confused about something. So I sat down and introduced myself and I said, so what were you guys talking about? And they said, well, God has really laid something on our hearts. We feel like we're supposed to be part of a new women's prayer movement. And we've been trying to get the website Praying Women, but somebody's already got it. And I was like, me. And I told them how God had woken my husband up and put that on our hearts several months before that. And I went on and went to the meeting and it was fine. But the whole reason I was there was to meet these four women, because God started something in that little nucleus of women who didn't know each other, but love Jesus and long for revival in this nation. So now it's 20 of us. And in fact, I want to give you a heads up. I kind of save the date, if you will. If you would go ahead and write in pencil in your calendar, no, do it in pen, do it in faith. February the 15th, the day after Valentine's Day, 2020, we're going to have the first event for this women's prayer movement. The kind of hashtag is, she loves out loud. We just feel like there's so much anger in our nation. And so often when women's voices are heard, their voices are being raised in anger and dividing. And that is a tool of Satan. One of his greatest tools is division. So what our prayer is that by January of next year, we would have 1 million women committed to pray. And then the day after Valentine's Day, which seems a perfect day to talk about the love of God for our nation, that we will have probably 10 events on the same night across America, simulcast into hundreds of churches. I believe that's what God wants us to do. I mean, if every woman and man, but if every one of us began to take God seriously and began to really rise up in prayer, can you imagine what would happen in our nation? You know, when I read Ephesians 6, where Paul talks about putting on the full armor of God, and do you remember what it says at the beginning of that passage? We do not fight against flesh and blood. It's about the spiritual forces behind that. It's very easy to watch the news or to go on Facebook and hear what people are saying and for our anger to be against the people. But the enemy is what's behind those people. We have an enemy who is alive, who is active. And one of the things he wants believers to do is to stop praying and stop reading their Bibles. I had the privilege of being part of an event to promote a new movie of the Pilgrim's Progress. It's in beautiful animation, fantastic. But one of the scenes, I got to preview the movie before I conducted a panel discussion with the director and producers. And one of the scenes is between Christian, the protagonist in the story, and Satan. And the number one thing that Satan wants Christian to do is put down his sword. You know, his sword is the word of God. And he keeps saying to Christian, put down your sword, put down your sword. And Christian refuses to. So I believe that if we, as the family of God, begin to dig deep into the word of God again and learn how to pray. But that's one of the things I want to talk about. I'm working on a new book called Praying Women, What to Pray When You Do Not Know What to Say. Because sometimes we want to pray, but if you're really honest, sometimes we get bored. You know, sometimes we think, I said the same thing yesterday and the same thing the day before, or else, you know, you're in the middle of praying for Africa and suddenly you think, I didn't defrost the chicken. You know, and you get so distracted. So I'm thinking, Lord, you have told us all to pray, which means I gave my life to Christ when I was 11. Some of my friends gave their life to Christ at 5. So if you're a 5-year-old or you're 85, if you've got a doctorate in some, you know, letters and English, you've been asked to pray. And if you're somebody who never was able to even learn to read or write, we've all been called to pray. So why have we made it so hard and so complicated? Well, I think God's been showing me some things that sometimes I write a book because of things that God is showing me and I want to unpack. But writing this book that I'm working on now is literally changing my life. But let me tell you a story about my granddad. When I was growing up in Scotland, my mum's dad, my granddad, was what we call in Scotland a doer man, which means very stern. And he had a certain way of doing things. That was the way you do it. And particularly when it came to saying grace or saying a prayer before our meals, it was always the same and done in the same strong, doer Scottish accent. And he would say, for what we're about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful. Amen. Well, on this particular occasion, missionaries were home on furlough and they were coming to my grandparents' house for lunch because they were going to be at the evening service again that night. So the whole family was invited for lunch. Well, my grandmother wanted to make them feel really welcome and she wanted it all to be special. So she brought out her wedding china instead of the usual stuff. She brought out the family silver. She had beautiful roses picked from her garden, put in a crystal vase. And she had a white linen tablecloth and everything was fresh and new, apart from my grandfather. So she said to my granddad, listen, do you think just on this occasion, William, you could expand your grace just a little bit. And he kind of grunted, and you never knew if that was a grunt of affirmation or just a grunt. Only time would tell. So, on this particular occasion, after the morning service, and the missionaries were brought back home to my grandmother's home, sat around this beautiful table, and then it was my grandfather's big moment. So we all bowed our heads, and my grandfather said, "For what we are about to receive." Well, at that point, my grandmother realizes he's just going for the same grace, so she kicks him under the table. And then there was a little pause as he said, "For what we're about to receive, may the Lord make us truly thankful and make me a good boy." He was 72 years old. I mean, I literally laughed. I mean, I fell off the chair laughing. And my grandmother made a noise kind of similar to somebody stepping on bagpipes. And my grandfather was humiliated because we'd moved him out of his comfort zone. He thought there was one way to pray. And when he was asked to ad lib a bit, it completely threw him. Well, I did a little thing a couple of weeks ago on Facebook. I decided just to put a little post. In fact, you may well have been one of the ones who answered it. And if you were, thank you. And I said, what do you find challenging about prayer? Well, I wrote down a few of your responses because within 2 hours, I got 650 comments. And here's some of them. I get distracted. I feel like I'm saying the same things over and over. What's the point if God knows what's going to happen anyway? How do I know what I'm supposed to ask God for? Really honest one. I get bored. How do I know that God hears me? I didn't get an answer last time, so why pray? And then I feel too depressed and too sad to pray. But this one thing showed up over and over. I can't stay focused. My mind wanders. Well, I totally get that. And I think most of us, if we're honest, understand that. But here is what I've discovered. You and I have the greatest prayer book ever offered to anyone. I never pray now without having my Bible open in front of me. That's how I have my quiet time now. Because if you think about it, and particularly the Psalms were given to the people of God to be able to pray back to God. And so whatever you are walking through, one of these Psalms is going to cover it. Now, if you say, well, I feel like I pray for the same things over and over, well, that makes sense because, like, I'll use my own life. Every day I pray for my husband, Barry. Every day I pray for my son, Christian. I pray for the staff here at Life Outreach. I pray for my pastor, Jack Graham. So there's certain things we are going to pray. But if you use the Psalms as a guide, it'll help. So let me show you what I do. Let me just take a very well-known Psalm, for example. Psalm 23. So we're going to use that as our template for prayer. So here's how I go. The Lord is my shepherd. Lord, thank you so much that you shepherd me through life. Thank you that there's never a moment when you take your eyes off me. I ask today that you would shepherd Barry through his day, shepherd Christian through his day. If he starts to take a wrong path, Lord, with your staff, would you help him find the right way? And then you carry on. I have all that I need. Thank you, Lord, that you are our provider. I don't always have all that I want, but you give me all that I need. I pray today for the missions of Life Outreach. There's so much need out there, Lord. Help me to be an answer to some of these prayers. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. Lord, thank you that that's your desire for every one of us. You want us to find a place in every day where we can just be quiet, where we can rest. Help me to find that quiet place in you today. Help James and Betty, in the midst of all they've got going, to find some rest, to be able to be beside quiet streams today. He renews my strength. Lord, thank you. You are the one who renews our strength. So often we look to other things, but you are the one. You're our strength. You're our helper. I pray, Lord, today that I would be aware of you renewing my strength to serve you more and more. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Lord, that's my desire. I want to walk along straight paths and bring honor to your name. So I ask that you would grant that in my life. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you're close beside me. Lord, I pray for my friends, Jenna Lee, walking through a dark, dark time right now. Pray for Brent as he faces another surgery for his brain. Lord, even in that dark valley, would you let them know that you're right beside them, that they don't have to be afraid? You, your rod and your staff, protect and comfort me. Lord, what a gift it is to have a shepherd who protects, who keeps the enemy away, and who comforts us when dark things come into our life. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be afraid of whoever's out there saying things about us or on Facebook or tearing us apart. You prepare a feast. Every good thing that comes from you is so much greater than anything else that could happen. And we go on. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Lord, I'm going to take a few minutes today and I'm going to write down everything I'm grateful for, all the blessings that you pour out on my life. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, what a future I have in you. Thank you that you have given me life, but thank you that I have a future and that I have a hope. Do you see how we can use God's word to be our prayer guide? And when you work your way through the Psalms, what I do is when I've finished praying through one Psalm, I put a little tick beside it. And if there's something particular that touches me in that day or a particular prayer request, I'll write the date beside it. And once I've worked my way all the way through, I'll come back to the beginning again. And sometimes I'll even see the way that God has answered a prayer. But if you struggle to pray, if you feel like you get distracted, I want you to know that you have been given such a gift in the Word of God, God's prayer manual. But for those of you, I have one more thing I wanted to show you. For those of you who feel, you know what, I'm going through so much right now. I'm thinking of my friend whose husband is facing another surgery for the fourth time. And they're both, just honestly, they're worn out. But this is what it says in Romans chapter 8. And this is in verse 26 and 27. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads with us believers in harmony with God's own will. Isn't that amazing to know? If you find yourself in a difficult place today, perhaps you're even watching this in a hospital bed, or maybe you're sick at home, or maybe you're just broken. Maybe you're in a place where you're like, Sheila, I'd love to join your prayer movement, but I can hardly get out of bed. I want you to know you have an advocate in heaven. The Holy Spirit is calling your name out right now, right at the Father's side. And not only that, He knows what God's will is for your life. So He prays in accordance with God's will for you. We are covered by the blood of the Lamb, but we have not been left alone. We have been given the ability to pray, and we have been given the ability to pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So when you hear the enemy coming up and saying to you, put down your sword, you lift it high in Jesus' name, knowing that our strength is found in this living word. One of the things that God's word makes so clear to us is that in the way that we have been comforted, says it in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in the way that we have been comforted, we now have the ability and the calling to comfort others. And I'm going to show you a very practical, very real way that you and I can do that right now.
On this trip, we've been to villages where we've seen children singing and dancing. We've heard life. And then we've seen why. Because they've been waiting in line to receive a bowl of food. Mission Phoebe. We say it saves lives, but here's the reality of what it does. Because on the same trip, we've visited villages where mothers have told us of how they labor tirelessly to try and provide food for their children, but they can't provide enough, where in one village, One mother says, I lost three children in the last year. Another says, I lost two. Another says, I lost five. We try and communicate to you what that means. We try and create an understanding and draw a picture for you. And now you see it. A child that is lifeless, desperate. Now you see what those mothers go through. Those are not just stories. That's not a mother just flippantly saying, well, I lost two children this last year. No. Mothers sitting in clinics like this, watching their children's lives stolen, literally stolen away from them. Why? Because they couldn't give them enough food. Something that you and I can change so easily, something that takes so little to change, and yet has such a massive impact. The Bible says to us that no man could give a greater gift than to give his life for another. I'm just asking you to save the life of this precious child. Please, give the gift of life.
That was, of course, Isaac Pretorius, the son of our wonderful hero who's now home with Jesus, Peter Pretorius. And what Isaac was showing us is something that's happening right at this very moment. These mothers bringing in these children who are literally starving to death. You know, the last time I was over in Africa, so many of these moms, they're exhausted because they, from the first thing in the morning to last thing at night, they're doing anything they can to try and find the littlest bit of food. But when there's been no rain and no crops, there's nothing. And they'll walk for miles. They will do whatever it takes to be able to feed their children. And all they're asking is, would we help them? I mean, this is not a have to. This is a privilege to be able to be literally the hands of Christ to so many who are suffering and struggling. We have made a promise to Isaac and all our other partners on the ground there, so many parts of Africa, Angola, South Sudan, places where children are dying every single day. You know, I've knelt by the graves where the families have left any little thing they can as a marker of the fact that my child lived. I had a daughter. And what we've promised to do is to continue feeding 400,000 children this year. And the amazing thing is we can do it so easily. Do you know, I mean, $30, if you were to pull out $30 of your wallet right now and think how quickly that would go. I mean, sometimes I'll go into the grocery store thinking I'm going in for one thing, and before I know it, I've spent $40. But $30 will feed three children for three whole months. That the bowls of food that we give them, it's food that's been specially made to provide all the nutritional needs that these children have to turn them from death to life. I mean, I've had the privilege of handing out these bowls, and these children, they stand so patiently in line waiting for a bowl of food. And when you've gone from a village where we have been able to set up mission feeding and see that they're just the way children should be, laughing and happy and learning and a future and hope, and then you go to the malnutrition clinics and we think, we cannot allow this to go on. You and I could fix this in our lifetime if we all determined to do something. $50 feeds five children for 3 months. $100, 10 children for three whole months. So what could you do? And maybe you've given before, but I'm asking you in Jesus' name, would you give again? Because the needs are still there. We want to make sure that when these children show up again, that we have a bowl of food for them. So please, would you give your best gift possible? Would you go online? Would you call the number on your screen? Would you do it now so that we can feed these children and wipe the tears from the faces of their loving mothers?
In impoverished and drought-stricken areas of Africa, children are suffering. The need is great, and without food, they face severe malnutrition, even death. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, you can save lives by feeding and caring for children currently suffering from starvation in parts of Angola, Mozambique, and South Sudan. With previous reserves gone and mission feeding helping in areas of great famine, we urgently need your support to replenish food supplies to reach the 400,000 children who are counting on us. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children. With your gift, we'll send you The James Code by O.S. Hawkins, an outstanding devotional to help you go from knowing about God to living for God and putting your faith into action. You'll also enjoy this beautifully crafted leather bookmark. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Passion Translation Bible. This New Testament edition, including Psalms and Proverbs, ignites the passion of the Bible to modern readers by merging the passion of God's heart for His children with the life-changing truth of His Word. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our commemorative bronze sculpture, Safe in the Shepherd's Arms. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I sit here in this malnutrition clinic with these three mothers whose lives potentially have changed forever. Mothers desperate to see their children survive. Children fighting malnutrition. Something as simple as not enough food. So please join hands with me, with these mothers, with our staff that are here, and most importantly, with these children. With your gift of $30, you can save these three children's lives. If you can give 50 today, you can save 5 children. And maybe you can find it in your heart to give $100, because that gift of $100 will bring life to 10 children. Please, do whatever you can do today. Help us to carry on our work here. Help us to continue what we've started, because there are so many lives that we still need to reach.
Thank you so much. I love our partners. You guys are great. You don't know how it encourages James and Betty when you keep giving. You didn't just do it once. You keep giving. And just on their behalf, I just want to say thank you. You're amazing. And for any gift at all, we will give you this great book, The James Code, 52 Scripture Principles for Putting Your Faith in Action. And for a gift of $100, we'll send you this Passion Bible, which is beautiful to read. I know you don't do it for the gifts, but we just want to find some little way of blessing you for the way that you help us bless others. So if the phone line was busy, keep calling. Let's make sure we answer those prayers. For Life Today, I'm Sheila Walsh saying goodbye. God bless you.
And at this point, I watched God.
Yeah, it's great.
I watched God use me as a bridge.
Bold and Broken, tomorrow with the Benham Brothers. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.